This is Revolutionizing Recruitment with Kathleen Duffy, the art of attracting, acquiring, and retaining talent. Here's Kathleen.
Thanks for joining me as I wrap up my chat with Craig Fisher, the founder of employer brand marketing and recruitment technology and process strategy firm TalentNet Media. Craig, you know, I wanted to get your take on something. I was speaking with someone the other day, and they're looking for a new position, and she asked me how she can find out if the leaders of a particular organization are inspiring. In part one, you mentioned Glassdoor, and that definitely seems like the go-to site for reviews of CEOs and other leaders. I'm wondering, is this an issue that comes up with companies that you work with, and how would you advise this person?
Yeah, all the time. So in understanding a company's sort of internal perception and building an organic and kind of transparent employer brand message and story, we interview 20 or 30 internal employees at various levels, new hires, individual contributors, managers, executives, and talk to them about how they feel about their job and how they feel about their effect on their teams and their customers and the impact they have on the organization. And then by doing that, we get at, you know, what they really love about the company and some things that they don't necessarily like about the company. And you really quickly discover whether there's open access to senior management. That's a process, though, that takes several days or a couple of weeks of interviews, and your average job seeker doesn't have the opportunity to do that. But I would certainly take the opportunity to try to reach out to someone in that organization that kind of is like you, right? Has a similar background, maybe even went to your university, something like that, and ask them directly, do you mind if we schedule some phone coffee time? I just need 5 minutes or so. If you don't mind, I'd like to know more about your company. I'm not trying to sell you anything, but I'm interested in your organization and have a couple of questions. Would that be okay? And, you know, very often it might take two or three tries, but you'll find someone that says, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, they're a good brand ambassador for the organization, and they might sort of tell you what you want to hear or what they think you want to hear. And so you have to be real direct in your questions and say, so, you know, honestly, between you and me, is the senior executive of this organization accessible? Have you ever talked to them? You know, what kind of access do you have? I'm fascinated. I'd love to know and try to find the answer that way. The other thing is, more and more executives are getting social and writing and doing video and things like that. And if, you know, you do enough research, you can find some of these things. And as a leader myself, I try to put out as much video, audio, you know, written content as I can to inspire other people. And hopefully that attracts people to my organization as well, you know, customers and talent. And I always advise executives that we work with that that's their responsibility as well. They are the top level, number one employee advocate in the organization. And they need to be not above it all, but in the thick of it.
And that's kind of a new headset for these leaders, don't you find?
Absolutely.
That, you know, that they have to be the brand ambassador. I'm finding that. You know, I do a lot of work with the Women on Boards initiative, which is around, you know, diversity on your corporate boards and ensuring that your board looks like the population to which your business is servicing. And that was actually what I had suggested to this individual. I said, you know, I'd start by looking at the diversity of the executive team and making sure that they believe in diversity, and same thing with their boards, because if they don't, that's going to send another message as well.
Yeah. And very often you have to dig to understand this. Companies are striving to be more diverse, right? I mean, that's a common theme right now. And so you might have a very gentrified looking senior executive team that's trying to change that. And so you have to look at the information the company is putting out. You have to look at if they have a chief diversity officer or if they have a diversity manager. How long has that person been in the job? Was there someone before them? That sort of thing. And you can kind of piece together if there are active efforts to not just check the boxes, but really affect change. And LinkedIn is a great way to find people who have recently been hired to the organization. It's very straightforward. So you find the company in LinkedIn. At the top, click on the current employees. You start looking at them and look at the diversity of the population there. And then you click on the individuals and see how long they've been working there, right? And if you see a more diverse recent population, you know that that company's probably trending in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. There's no excuse for people not doing that homework up front, which again gets back to the whole, what are you putting out there? What does your company look like? And, you know, making sure that these people are able to get attracted to your organization, because there are so many tools to be able to use.
You know, you wrote a little section in your book about an action plan for this. And the top bullet there is identifying three factors that are unique to your organization, three things that you're doing differently from your competitors. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think talking about actively becoming more diverse as an organization is a good thing to emphasize if you're actually doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I completely agree with you. You know, another thing that you talk about is delivering to your clients a really strong ROI. Mm. And that's really important in my business too, to be able to deliver that ROI. In what you do and your team does, how do you measure that ROI? And maybe can you share a story of a client's ROI that you're most proud of?
Yeah, absolutely. A few years ago, let's see, 2019, Subway asked me to do a simple brand audit and sentiment analysis for them, audit their process, look at how they show up on, you know, for jobs on the internet and job boards and in social media, and are their employees active and things like that. We did the audit. We made several recommendations where they could improve things. And 2 years later, they called, and this is recently, and said, we actioned almost everything you suggested from the mm-hmm. brand audit. I said, that's a pretty good ROI story. Did you feel the ROI, you know, immediately when I offered you all this? And they said, you offered us things that we could actually do. And that's good ROI. A lot of consultants offer these sort of aspirational plans, you know, sort of 1, 2, and 3 year activities that could make you better, but they're not tangible and they're not actionable right away. They're not things you could start doing on Monday. And so I always feel like ROI is in what are you walking away with from your first or second sprint in the process. Then beyond that, you've got sort of quick fixes. The quick fixes and, you know, sort of the low hanging fruit are the stories that you need to be able to tell to prove ROI, to write case studies, things like that. So with Toyota, when we did their digital transformation, it was for their financial services division. They had moved to Dallas from California, moved 5,000 people from all over the country to Plano, Texas. And the Toyota Services Division immediately hired a lot of contractors to get their IT division up and running. And then they were stuck with a lot of expensive contractors and couldn't convert them to full-time employees, and had a hard time hiring full-time employees because they had this reputation as a contract factory. So they needed to sort of separate themselves from the greater Toyota and tell a story that could help them convert the contractors. So we interviewed employees. What's great about the company? Why would a contractor want to, you know, be an employee? And it turns out there was a lot of things that they weren't communicating to the contractor community. There was, you know, there's a lease car program where you get a free lease car of a Toyota as an employee. And there's free access to an on-site pharmacy, and, you know, lots of good perks that the contractors had kind of said, yeah, we don't need that. I don't care about that. But when you really dig into it, the dollars involved, and you could explain that to a contractor that, look, this is tangible, real money that you're not taking advantage of. And there are other great perks about this, and it's being part of a team and telling the story, right? And so they were able to convert 85% of their contract employees to full-time employees within a period of 3 months. And so
that's huge.
That's a tangible ROI, right?
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. And then there's quicker fixes. So recently we've been working with Ross Stores, and they weren't their funnel for a certain part of the country for their warehouses, their distribution centers, was just almost non-existent. So, you know, midsummer, early summer, people are still getting stimulus checks and earning, you know, total of about $16 or so an hour to not work, you know, unemployment and stimulus packages. And they were applying to jobs just to keep the process going and not actually following through on things. And so we made some small tweaks with a little bit of automation and a little bit of quicker process for their recruiters to get back to people, made sure their jobs were showing up properly in the Facebook marketplace, put the actual hourly rate in the title of the jobs, and, you know, a few other things like sign-on bonus, and made it really clear and tangible to these people who were just kind of sitting around that there's more money to be made than, you know, doing something that is not sort of productive. And we got a 1400% increase in 1 week.
Holy cow.
In applicants. And so these are the things that, you know, consultants and staffing agencies and partners need to be documenting, telling stories about, and giving it back to the organization so that they can tell their leaders the successes that they've had, because really it's their success. You've helped them do it, and they've paid mm-hmm. you to help them do it. That's what you're getting paid for, but it's their success, and that's what you want to champion. And you know, that's what I like about ROI stories.
I love that. That's great. So I want to make sure that we get to talk about your recruiting conference, the TalentNet mm-hmm. Live. Now that things are starting to settle down, will we be seeing the conference again?
Yes. So in 2020, we normally have two conferences a year, one in Dallas in the fall and one in Austin in the spring. And we always host at a major employer's headquarters. So we've been at, we started out at PepsiCo's Frito-Lay headquarters, and we've been at JCPenney and Pizza Hut and Capital One and Southwest Airlines and most recently Toyota in Dallas. And we always host in at Whole Foods Market World headquarters in Austin. And last year we had to switch to a virtual event because of the pandemic. And so mm-hmm. we've been that way since, and we'll be hosting our first in-person on-site event in Dallas on November 12th at Celanese Chemicals Corporation. It's the largest chemical company in the world, called Celanese, in Las Colinas. We're going to have, it's going to be small at first. That's kind of how we're staging it. But we're going to have 100 people on site, and then it'll be a hybrid event where we also do the virtual event that you can join from anywhere. And then we're going to be at a company called Super Coffee in Austin. You can get details about all this at talentnetlive.com, and we'd love to have, you know, anyone who's interested be involved. It's great for talent acquisition leaders and teams, staffing firms, individual recruiters, even job seekers get a lot out of this, because we are a group of friends who have been doing this for a long time, and it's sort of referred to as a speakers conference. We all show up to try out our newest and latest interesting things on each other, and the audience gets to participate and have very close access to the speakers. And then I choose new speakers from audience participants who have been, you know, really strong in the event every year. So there's always new faces, and then some traditional, you know, really well-versed practitioners showing what the latest and greatest best practices are. So it's really fun.
That's great. So do you think that moving forward, you'll stick with the format of in-person as well as hybrid?
I think so. It's great to give access to this wonderful mm-hmm. content to a larger audience. It's wonderful to pack 350 sort of regional people and a few folks that fly in to Toyota's headquarters, but it's not the type of conference where we're going to have 10,000 people because we want it to stay fairly intimate. Mm-hmm. But by broadcasting it, a larger audience can certainly enjoy it and feel that sort of sense of intimacy as we're, you know, still in the 100 to 300 or so range in live audience. So I think the technology supports it. We've got a great partner in a company called Skill Scout that helps us video and document everything and broadcast. Yeah, it works pretty well. They made a wonderful documentary about the conference, about TalentNet and my journey through this sort of building the thing, and a lot of the popular speakers and influencers in the space getting their first opportunity to even speak on a stage at my event, and how we've all sort of grown up into these talent leaders all over the world. And so it's sort of the evolution of talent acquisition as a force within organizations to support HR, and how that's grown as we've all grown in this industry and through the TalentNet events, sort of kind of a parallel story there. So it's been, mm-hmm. it's been a fun journey.
So I guess we could call you the Johnny Carson of the recruiting space. Is that it?
I like that. I'd take David Letterman even.
Okay, I'll give you both. How about that?
Yeah, yeah.
There you go. Well, that's great. I do think that, you know, if there were any, you know, bright spots of the pandemic, I think the opportunity for conferences to be in person as well as hybrid, it just opens up the hybrid opportunity, just opens up, you know, for people from different countries, right, to be able to experience this where they may not have been able to just pop on over to Dallas or to Austin. So that's great. You know, I look forward to having some of my folks attend as well. So, you know, I want to conclude our podcast with I have a special lightning round, Craig. It's, you know, nothing to be too scared about, but I have a couple of questions for you. I'd like to know, what was your first job and what is your dream job? Mm.
So first job was lawn mowing and simultaneously paper routes. So when I got old enough to do some work and understand that there was money involved with it other than just chores around the house, boy, I went after it with zest. So I had at one point 20 lawns that I was keeping up at the same time as doing both a morning and afternoon paper route. I ended up taking on partners so we could expand the business, and you know, you're talking about a 10-year-old kid here. So that's sort of how I started, and I really haven't stopped working ever since. My parents weren't very well off. They were wonderful and provided a great life, but they didn't have gobs of money, and so I understood the value of making my own. And so my ultimate dream job would be to eventually have something that can stand on its own without me having to be there all the time. Everybody wants to develop software so that it just, you build it once and earn forever. I kind of like to do that possibly with some of the strategies that I teach companies and kind of operationalize that into a thing that you can pay for and your teams can view forever and things like that. And I'm actually doing that. So, you know, what we do now takes a lot of nuance. It takes a lot of Craig being there and my IP, but I love what I do, honestly, Kathleen, so much. I love building new things in this industry and evolving the employer experience. And I'm real passionate about it. And so my dream job sort of includes my day job now.
Well, it's very obvious how passionate you are. So what's your guilty pleasure?
Oh, so many. I have to turn my brain off occasionally. And so I do a few things and they're all media related. I'll either edit video, watch movies, consume music. It could also even be a podcast, and I'll do these things while I'm on the treadmill or, you know, out for a hike. I'm a huge consumer of media and, I'm real good at it.
Well, there's certainly a lot of media to choose from today. So I'm sure you're happy all the time.
My friends are happy because I give great reviews.
Yeah, I'm sure. Okay, one last question. What's your biggest pet peeve?
So my biggest pet peeve is people overcomplicating business matters for no reason. Don't give me big words. Give me simple solutions. I like that better.
Amen. Well, listen, Craig, before we go, if people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do that?
My website, talentnetmedia.com, is a great place to go and find out more about what we do. And there's a contact form there. I am on Instagram and Twitter at fishdogs. And you can find my personal site if you want me to be a part of your conference or webinar or podcast at craigfisher.info or fishdogs.com. It all goes to the same place.
Great. Well, Craig, thanks for being on the podcast. I've really enjoyed our conversation today.
Thank you for having me. It's been fun.
His name is Craig Fisher, the founder of TalentNet Media. And that's it for the very first episode of Revolutionizing Recruitment. I hope you enjoyed the show. And if you did, make sure you take a second to subscribe so you automatically get my new shows when they drop. Also, if you have a minute, I'd love if you left us a review so more folks like yourself can discover the show. Until next time, take care.
This has been Revolutionizing Recruitment with Kathleen Duffy. To connect with Kathleen or to learn more about recruitment research, go to duffygroup.com.